keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the hosts, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us. But how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is disproportionate success in healthcare through technology. Our guest for today's show is Sanjay Shah. Sanjay is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Porter Memorial Health System in Valparaiso, Indiana. With over 13 years of leadership experience in the healthcare industry and as a CIO and CTO, Sanjay has been instrumental in helping organizations achieve a disproportionate strategic advantage by innovative application and adoption of technology. At Porter Memorial, Sanjay introduced the first of its kind just-in-time patient information system, which allowed a physician to receive 95% of patient's information on a PDA within 3 minutes of entering the hospital. This resulted in an average time savings of 30 minutes per physician per day. Before joining Porter Memorial, Sanjay helped create value in healthcare using technology by serving as the CIO at St. Vincent Hospital System in Santa Fe, New Mexico, as a founding member of a healthcare technology startup, and as a consulting manager in healthcare practice at Deloitte & Touche. Sanjay holds an MBA degree from Georgia State University, Atlanta, and is also a certified medical practice executive. Good morning, Sanjay. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sanjay. Thank you for inviting me.
Enjoying the holiday season? Enjoying the time with the family?
Yes, it has been great.
Oh, wonderful. While there is a lot of talk about value created by technology, unless quantified in some form, you know, the related investments would possibly be turned down. And there are intangibles, but the healthcare management may not appreciate them as much. But what is your pitch to the management when you propose a technology initiative in at Porter or in the past when you worked with other organizations?
Sanjog, that is very simple. I actually do not pitch technology. What I do is I look at the business objective, what is the business trying to do, and relate it as best as I can to saying, here is what technology can do to achieve what we are trying to get done from a business perspective. So really, it boils down to how does technology relate to what our business needs are. And if we focus more on the business needs versus the core technology, it's a lot easier and probably the right thing to do. Again, not rocket science, pretty simple, and I think everyone's understood that.
So if you are going to the management and saying we are not talking technology, we are creating business value, definitely there would be it would be a refreshing thought to them as compared to other consultants or other officers coming and saying, you know, we would pick up this great solution that's available and we'll create value. So you're saying that because of this approach, you get a better buy-in?
Absolutely. Let me give you an example. There's a lot of talk in healthcare these days about trying to make healthcare more patient-friendly. We have a lot of competition. However, healthcare is still considered not as patient-friendly as some of the other industries are. Instead of going in, and today we have technology, for example, that talks about how wireless 802.11 A and B and G networks can work, how we can do mobile computing, wireless internet access, hotspots. Instead of going and talking to my administration about these technologies, what I go in and talk about is, for example, as a patient, we would like to try and make our patients' experience in our hospital as best as we could. How do we do that utilizing technology? I don't know if you've recently been hospitalized.
I hope not.
Yeah, but if anyone has, what happens is as soon as you get in, let's say you were jogging or had a crash or something and had to be brought into the emergency room, the first thing we do is when you come into the emergency room, we ask you to turn your cell phones off. And God forbid, but if you ever get admitted, when you're up on the floor, you don't have access to a cell phone. You might be a normally healthy person, but when you're in there, you're not, of course you get a few TV channels and cable, but you really don't have a lot of things you can do. You're pretty much almost sitting there like an invalid, which for a normal healthy person otherwise feels very constraining. So what we decided to do was I said, excuse me, I actually took all my vice presidents and CEO on a tour in one of our units, and we handed each one of them a small laptop with a DVD player built in and a wireless internet access. And we basically told them that, assume that you are either a family member, let's say your spouse is in the hospital waiting for delivering a baby and has been in labor for the last 12 hours, you're kind of sitting here, you want to really check your mail, you want to pay your bills, do something, you're not really allowed to use your cell phone, or say you are a patient. We gave them each different roles and basically gave them a laptop and said, now if you actually had this laptop either as a patient or a family member, this laptop would allow you to watch DVD movies on demand, whatever you want. We have a collection of DVDs. It will also allow you to have wireless internet access. You can go in and check your mail. You can go in and pay your bills online. You can do whatever else. You can chat with your friends. And just give patients and the family members a sense that they actually have more control over their environment while they're in the hospital. This would lead to better patient satisfaction, which is one of our stated objectives. To do this, we have the technology that makes it possible. They can actually walk around from a patient room to the lounge and back without losing their connection. It's a small laptop. They can keep it on their laps when they are in the bed. It's kind of like the difference between flying coach and flying first class. And that's the pitch we show, and we say, here's what is available. We just wanted you to be aware of it. And the natural question I get is, oh, this is kind of cool. So what would it take to get this done? And how much money does it cost? And can we realistically do that? So we actually try and focus more on the business value of the technology. We don't talk about 802.11a or b. What we talk about is, here's how we can actually improve our patient satisfaction.
So
that's an example.
So basically, and we have also discussed this in the past shows, that if any organization takes this as a mantra where they take consumer as a focal point and create all their services around them so that there's an experience that they get versus using a product or a service, and based on that experience creation, the back-end operations, the way they are handled, it's transparent to them, and then the technology should just be an enabler of that experience.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that? Yeah.
And that's also the same thing we try and do here. What we want to do is we want our patients, every time they come in, to recognize that when they are here, they have more control over their environment, they have more control over their care. The technology is there, but our ideal situation is that technology is almost transparent. They're not supposed to recognize technology for technology's sake. Whatever we do, technology plays a role in it, but it's not really done for the sake of technology.
That's actually the case, and that's why no doubt you guys are successful. Now, also another question I would have is, since healthcare has always been very cautious and a conservative industry when it comes down to, you know, using and deploying technology, and specifically some new technologies which have not been tried and tested elsewhere, and that definitely makes sense, is because, you know, you are dealing with human lives and they're very important. And at the same time, since they are healthcare folks, they are not truly that technology savvy. I mean, I would not say technology challenged, but they are not definitely technology savvy to say, okay, this is how we can creatively deploy some technologies which might be older, or it may be they may be newer, but the deployment of those technologies would actually create value. Now, what kind of challenges do you face as a CIO because of the level of ignorance and also the paranoia? I would not say it's actually paranoia, but to some degree it is paranoia that, okay, if I use XYZ technology and that is supposed to be dispensing medication to the patients, and if there's some flaw in there, we would not come to know till the time there are some major fatalities. So how do you deal with this?
Healthcare as an industry, obviously things are... things at stake are very high. So we as an industry are very conservative when it comes to adoption of newer technology, especially as it relates to patient care. However, having said that, there are other industries where we can learn from where there are also things that at stake are higher, or just as higher, maybe not as important as a patient's life, but financial industry, for example, they have mastered the art of making sure that systems do what they're supposed to do. You can't have $1 million bank transfer and say, oops, went in the wrong account. Similarly, when we look at technology, we try and find technology that, when it relates to patient care, is tried and tested out. However, there are other things that we do in healthcare where those technologies don't directly relate to patient care. For example, or they do relate to patient care, but they're not as critical in terms of the safety of the patient. And to give you an example, if there is a drug administration that we need to recognize, and we use information technology to recognize what drugs are given to what patient and if they have any kind of allergies to that particular drug, what is their history, the technology we use for that is filtered through a different set of criteria than the technology we use for, let's say, billing for that procedure. If the bill, not that we would like any errors, but if there is a slight error in the billing, it's not as crucial as the error that might, or the result of the error if the patient was given a different medication. So it's relative, and as an industry, we are a little conservative. However, what we also do, and what I've done at Porter is actually act as a yo-yo. In some cases, we are very conservative. We don't do anything radical when it comes to patient care or patient safety. However, for everything peripheral to that, in terms of the actual operation of the business, we do take calculated risk. We do like to be a leader in the market. We do use technology for innovative purposes.
That's wonderful, and definitely you would have done many more things at Porter and at your other positions and in different hospitals that you worked with, and also as a consultant. So there you might have come across challenges and the way you would have dealt with them in order to actually create value and use innovative methods, or rather, you know, revolutionary or in some cases even some things which people would not like on the face of it, that, you know, why are you doing something like this? So we would love to hear something more from you, but let's take a quick break before that. And please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.abval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Do you want real business talk radio? then listen to Getting Down to Business, heard every Friday at 1 p.m. On the show, your host, Professor Phil, will have featured guests that are business consultants, managers, and professors who can help to bridge the gap between the workplace and the classroom. Once again, that's Getting Down to Business with Professor Phil, every Friday at 1 p.m., right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Let's get down to business.
If you have ever wanted to buy and sell real estate for a profit, or are an experienced broker, you need to tune into the Real Estate Investors Forum, Fridays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time with your host, Lillian Villanova. On the show, Lillian will address topics from getting the best deals in real estate while avoiding the pitfalls of a bad investment to building a million-dollar portfolio. So won't you please join us for the Real Estate Investors Forum, Fridays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Looking for ways to improve your business? Then listen to Leaders Lead every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Hosted by Mark Sherwadi, Leaders Lead is a show designed to help you and your business reach the next level of success. Mark and his guests will share their leadership wisdom with you and allow you to call in to have your specific questions answered. So tune in every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time for Leaders Lead with Mark Sherwadi, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Do you have questions about which stocks to invest in? Are you interested in learning about the stock market and what makes this giant moneymaker work? Then you need to tune in to Economic Leads with host John Early, heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. On the show, John will bring you insight into the stock market and let you know why the dollar is falling and how to protect your profit. To find out what is hot and what is not, tune in to Economic Leads with your host, John Early, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is disproportionate success in healthcare through technology. Our guest for today's show is Sanjay Shah. Sanjay is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Porter Memorial Health System in Valparaiso, Indiana. With over 13 years of leadership experience in the healthcare industry and as a CIO and CTO, Sanjay has been instrumental in helping organizations achieve a disproportionate strategic advantage by innovative application and adoption of technology. At Porter Memorial, Sanjay introduced the first of its kind, just-in-time patient information system, which allowed a physician to receive 95% of patients' information on a PDA within 3 minutes of entering the hospital. This resulted in average time savings of 30 minutes per physician per day. Before joining Porter Memorial, Sanjay helped create value in healthcare using technology by serving as the CIO at St. Vincent Hospital System in Santa Fe, New Mexico, as a founding member of a healthcare technology startup, and as a consulting manager in healthcare practice at Deloitte & Touche. Sanjay holds an MBA degree from Georgia State University, Atlanta, and is also a certified medical practice executive. Before the break, we were discussing about the challenges that a CIO might face because of the way technology is perceived by the management in a healthcare organization, and Sanjay was describing the different ways he meets those challenges, and then the follow-up question came up where, like, what specific things did Sanjay do, and in terms of using innovative applications and adoption of technology to really create value. So, Sanjay, please continue your thoughts.
Thank you, Sanjay. As I was saying, let me give you a quick example. Healthcare, and I'll probably start out with a little broader perspective. Healthcare as an industry is slightly unique in the sense that, unlike any other industry, supply and demand, the normal economic principles of supply and demand are a little bit, construed out of equilibrium. In any other industry, what happens is if the supply goes up, the price comes down, If the demand goes higher, the price goes higher. Those things don't work in healthcare, and the primary reason being the consumer of your supply, of your services, the patient, is not the guy who makes the decision in terms of should they or should they not buy the services. The person who makes the decision, i.e. your doctor, is not the person who actually pays for it. So you have a mismatch between the person utilizing the services, the person making the decision for the services, and the person paying for those services. So given those unique characteristics of our industry, how we have to compete for business is also slightly different. The people who actually make the decision as to who should be utilizing our services is the physician community. We cannot do direct marketing to the physician community. It would be wonderful if I can actually incentivize physicians to send all their patients to our hospital versus the hospital down the street. Unfortunately, there are significant restrictions on what you can and how you can and cannot incentivize physicians, and probably for very good reasons. You do not want an excess utilization of healthcare services which are unnecessary. However, given those regulations, what we could do or what we wanted to do was basically improve our market share. And to improve our market share, one of the group of people that was instrumental in helping us achieve that was our physician community. It would be now, from a physician standpoint, the physicians, and some of the folks don't know this, but physicians actually, even though when you are a patient and come to the hospital, you think the physician and the hospital are one and the same. The physicians do not work for the hospital. The physicians are independent contractors or in private practice. And they actually are just like a normal business, which is their own, and they use the hospital to take care of their patients. So the physician actually makes their money primarily on their private practice, not on their hospital practice. So if we wanted to incentivize physicians, if we could actually find some way to provide some incentives to physicians to say, you know, you're making X amount of dollars, let's say, and this is a little controversial, but I'll just use it as an example, not that we are doing that. But say if somebody came up with an idea and said, hey, if I give every physician in our community $100 every day, in return, if they can send all their patients to my hospital and not one across the street, that might work. It might actually work very well. Unfortunately, that's illegal to do, and we all go to jail. So we don't want to do that. However, if we can come up with some creative ways utilizing technology to effectively achieve the same result and be legal, then that's a wonderful way of doing that. And the way we did that, if we basically said, listen, physicians make their money in their practice, in their private practice. They come to see patients in the hospital. If we can make their visit in the hospital as efficient as possible, and we give them all the information they want as quickly and as effectively as we can, resulting in them saving some time and getting out of the hospital, if I can actually have the physician be done with their rounds and be out of the hospital after seeing all their patients in the morning and the evening half an hour sooner every day, then they can go back to their practice and they can see maybe two or three more patients in that extra half hour that they would have normally spent in the hospital. That effectively means that they are getting $100 extra of revenue every day. That's a perfectly legal way of doing that. And if we can do that, then that would give us a huge advantage from a marketing standpoint, and that's how we went about doing this. And then we went looking at saying, okay, what technologies can we use to basically get a disproportionate share in terms of our marketing advantage or our strategic advantage. So if you're interested, I can go into a little bit more detail and tell you, but that was the basic concept, was to say, listen, we can give physicians $100 every day and say, send all your patients to us. However, we can go in and we can save them half an hour every day in their rounds, and that half an hour will effectively translate into seeing two more patients in their office, and those extra two or three patients in their office every day will result in an increased revenue for them, which will lead them to try and put all their patients in our hospital versus someone else because it's more effective and efficient for them to practice at our hospital.
So you basically are making, creating value by, again, making it customer-focused, and in this case, your physician is your biggest referral source. So if you keep them happy, guess what? You're going to get more and more patients coming in. They literally get addicted to it.
Absolutely. And the challenge there is to really understand, and everyone talks about meeting or exceeding your customer's need, and it's almost become a cliche now. What we do is we look at it and say, okay, if we want to really be, if we want us to be differentiated, what we need to do is not only understand our customer's need, but truly empathize with them. And the difference is really not just understanding, but really relating to it and saying, okay, what do they really care about? And when you start asking those questions, you sometimes get surprised to the types of answers you get, which again, you look at and say, ah, that's so simple. However, we sometimes ignore some of the simple things. For example, what happens is everyone knows that physicians would like to get clinical information. So what? Everyone wants to do that if they could. Nobody's going to stand up and say, oh, I'm a healthcare CIO. I really don't care for giving information to my physicians quickly. That's not the case. The case is what they think what the physician wants and what the physicians want really is sometimes there's a disjoint between the two. For example, if you were a primary care physician and you had 15 or 20 patients in the hospital, you would normally come in and see them at 7 in the morning before you start your round, before you start your practice. And then you'd probably do that after 5 o'clock. You'd see them before you go home after you close down your practice. When you walk in the hospital, the first thing as a physician you're concerned about is, let's say it's 7 o'clock in the morning, you're coming in, you're trying to make your rounds, you want to try and do your rounds within 45 minutes or an hour and then go back to your office by 8 o'clock and start seeing patients. That's where you make your money. So you're entering the hospital at 7 in the morning and you have a small piece of paper with all the patients' names written on there. And you would have probably the night before, the evening before when you left, the front office staff from your office would have given you a list of the patients that you have in the hospital with their bed numbers and floor numbers where they are. And you have a mental model in your mind as to, I'm going to go to this floor, then I'm going to see Ms. Smith, then I will go to the next floor, I'm going to see Mr. Jones, and so forth. Now what happens is, since last evening at 5 o'clock, the hospital might have had a surge in volume, and to try and accommodate that surge in volume, we might have to move patients around. So the list that that physician has may not be up to date. So 7 o'clock, he or she shows up, has this mental model, I'm going to go to this floor, then see these 5 patients and come down. By the time he gets there, the patients aren't there. The patient, Ms. Jones, has moved from 4 West to 3 East. All of a sudden, that completely throws the physician's planning out of whack, and now he has to redo everything, and it's not a very efficient way of him handling that. So if we could actually just even give him him or her a basic information as to real time, here's where your patients are as of now, that would help them quickly recalculate in their minds what is the best route that they're going to take to see their patients and try and spend the most amount of time meeting them face to face versus actually trying to figure out where the patients are. So that's just one of the examples of truly empathizing with their needs versus just trying to give them the basic information. And I can actually go into a little bit more detail if you want later on.
That's just wonderful. And it's very refreshing to see a CIO taking on, actually wearing the hat almost of a CEO and CFO and chief marketing officer to look at the end of the day, what is going to keep the lights on, what's going to make their business more profitable. And although it's not-for-profit and it's a county-run initiative, you're actually running it as if there was for-profit enterprise, which is commendable. Let's discuss a little more about the different things that Sanjay is going to be doing in future and has been doing in the past to make sure that the organization is always at its cutting edge, not from the technology standpoint, but from the customer experience standpoint. So we'll take a quick break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you. Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today. Technology is changing the way we live.
If you own your own business and are concerned with safety issues, then you need to tune in to Safety and Compliance, What You Need to Know, with your host, Michael Hughes. On the show, Michael will discuss real-world examples and solutions in achieving safety, compliance, and true cost reduction. That's Safety and Compliance, What You Need to Know, Mondays at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio from a business perspective.
Business America Radio proudly presents the National Health Forum with Paul Umbach every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Paul and his guests will bring you cutting-edge information on health policies and national health initiatives. With interactive dialogue between community leaders and healthcare industry change agents, the National Health Forum provides a venue for idea exchange on a public and even playing field. So tune in to the National Health Forum with Paul Umbach, heard every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Dare to be a leader is not just a show title, it's a way of life. With your host, Dr. Valenti, you will learn how to apply leadership skills to your everyday life. Dr. Valenti will discuss topics from overcoming fear to building confidence. That's Dare to be a Leader, Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Are you interested in the immigration laws that are increasingly affecting the way we all live? Then tune in to Learner on Immigration every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Host Brian Lerner, a certified specialist in immigration and nationality law, will give you updates on the current immigration laws and allow you to call in to have your own personal questions answered. The immigration policies of this country affect us all. Find out how on Learner on Immigration with certified specialist Brian Lerner. Heard every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is disproportionate success in healthcare through technology. Our guest for today's show is Sanjay Shah. Sanjay is the Vice President and CIO at Porter Memorial Health System in Valparaiso, Indiana. With over 13 years of leadership experience in the healthcare industry and as a CIO and CTO, Sanjay has been instrumental in helping organizations achieve a disproportionate strategic advantage by innovative application and adoption of technology. At Porter Memorial, Sanjay introduced the first of its kind, just-in-time patient information system, which allowed a physician to receive 95% of patient information on a PDA within 3 minutes of entering the hospital. This resulted in average time savings of 30 minutes per physician per day. Before joining Porter Memorial, Sanjay helped create value in healthcare using technology by serving as a CIO at St. Vincent Hospital System in Santa Fe, New Mexico, as a founding member of a healthcare technology startup, and as a consulting manager in healthcare practice at Deloitte & Touche. Sanjay holds an MBA degree from Georgia State University, Atlanta, and is also a certified medical practice executive. Before the break, Sanjay explained a little bit about the different approaches that he took and initiatives that were carried out under his leadership so that the physicians feel addicted, almost addicted to the quality of service that's been provided to them, and if they can save some time while they're in the hospital and the things, information is at their fingertips, then they are really able to do their job efficiently and go back to their practice and make some more money. Sanjay had some more thoughts that he wanted to add to it so that we can truly understand the value of creative adoption and deployment of technology to create value. So, Sanjay, please continue your thoughts.
Thank you, Sanjog. As we were talking about earlier, right before the break, we were talking about an example of how a physician, when he or she walks into a hospital, what are some of the things that they would like to see? As soon as they find out where their patients are, they would want to go see them on the floor. The first thing they do is they walk up to the floor, they go to Mrs. Smith's floor, they would want to look at the chart and see what happened to Mrs. Smith since yesterday when last she saw them. They might have ordered some tests to adjust or either rule out or add to the hypothesis they have in their mind. They would have ordered some lab tests, some other x-rays, some other diagnostic tests, would have probably administered some drugs. And they want to see what the results are. They want to know what their vital signs are. Typically what happens is when that physician goes on the nursing unit, there might be another physician who might have used that person's chart, and the chart is not in its place. So the physician doesn't have that information in front of them. So then they have to go look for a nurse and ask the nurse where the chart is. And typically, in most of the hospitals, the shift changes sometime around 7 o'clock. So the nurse who had taken care of Ms. Smith last whole night is probably already either left, has already left, or is in the process of leaving. And the new nurse who just came in probably does not have as much information and is also just trying to catch up on all the patient needs. So the physician goes around looking for the nurse, either finds the nurse or may not find the nurse. Even if he does find the nurse, he may take the nurse away from actual patient care duties, and the nurse might actually become a clerk, in a sense, to go looking for the chart. Even if, let's say, they do find the chart, then the physician wants to know, I ordered a lab test last evening. What are the results of the lab test? And the lab test results probably are not still in the chart. So he can't make a decision what else to do next, which drugs to prescribe. So then he asked the nurse to go call the lab and find out what happened with the lab test results. The nurse would call the lab, might ring a couple times, might leave a message. The lab, let's say life is good and she actually does talk to someone in the lab, and the lab says, oh yeah, we actually faxed those results to the floor 4 o'clock this morning, but they are probably sitting on the fax machine. They just didn't make it to the chart. So then the nurse goes looking for that on the printer or the fax machine, tries and finds that, puts it in the chart and gives it to the physician. All of these things actually are inefficient from a physician standpoint. So let's say if all of these things, these inefficiencies were taken out, that would be a great advantage from a physician standpoint. And that's effectively what we do with technology. What we have done is we actually provide in our hospital a PDA for every physician, and using infrared data transfer, there are infrared transfer stations at every entrance in the physician lounges and so forth. So when the physician actually enters in, they put their PDA in the sync station, and within a minute or two, all that updated information is synced with his or her PDA. And let's say for just ease of communication, we'll say his instead of saying his or her every time. Is synced with his PDA. He has all that information on his PDA, including where are the patients, what room, what bed, what floor, all their vital signs, their history and physicals, their lab tests, their other diagnostic test results, their pretty much everything that a physician may possibly want to know is actually available on their PDA, and they can bypass the whole process I just described and go straight to the fourth floor, go to Ms. Smith's room, and look at what happened since he had prescribed all the tests or the drugs the last evening, know the results of those, and actually talk to Ms. Smith about the plan of care from that point on, and then move on to the next patient. That creates a significant advantage for the physician, and that in turn results in a significant advantage for us. For example, let me take a step back in a higher level. What we do in our environment here is we have significant competition around us, and one of the chief medical officer of a hospital that we consider a significant competition, went up to the CEO of one of the vendor firms that we use for this, and had asked them, saying, could you tell us what you do with Porter Memorial, with that PDA stuff, that Palm Pilot stuff, because all our doctors are coming to me and saying, we want the same thing that Porter's giving because their physicians can get out much faster out of the hospital than we can. What do we need to do to get the same thing in our hospital? Now, that is great from a business standpoint. And again, that's the whole point. What we do is we look at it from the business standpoint. If we look at it from a technology standpoint, what we're doing is we're using PDAs, we are using infrared technology, we're using mobile computing, and we're effectively having a listener that sits on top and actually tries and looks at every transaction that goes across. And in technical terms, if you want to listen to it, we're collecting all that data in a huge data warehouse and then doing data mining and giving something that is important to the physician based on the roles that they play, give them what they want to see in the format they want to see. But we don't talk about it in terms of technology. What we talk about is, so what? What does all these things do? Why should we try and invest $500,000 in wireless network infrastructure or in the PDA technology or mobile computing? What we focus on is, here's the market share we have. What would a 0.5% increase in market share mean to us, and what are we willing to do for that? And then we go find technologies that will allow us to actually achieve those objectives.
Now, you have been dealing with this technology as an enabler and, of course, creating value in a way where it almost seems like it's like one of those cutting-edge or, say, cutthroat competition is there for you, and definitely it is, but at the same time, it seems, since it's a county-run initiative and there is a possibility of a grant or the state support, when you come up with such innovative ideas, which might almost look like revolutionary to your board, what is their reaction towards these kind of initiatives?
What we've done is, even though we are a county-run facility, we have not asked for any state or county or federal money other than Medicare and Medicaid, which every hospital in the country actually gets. We have not asked for any special subsidies from the county. In fact, the county does not support financially support the institution. We are self-sustaining. We actually are not for profit, so we don't make profit. However, we do try and make sure that our revenues are slightly in excess of our cost, which means that we are not in the red. We've not been in the red for years, as far as I can remember. Even though it's a community or a county-run institution, it still is a business, and we do need to run it like a business. We need to make sure that we do have some positive margins. And from the board standpoint, they recognize that. We want to make sure that we don't lose money, so that we don't have to ultimately go to the county and say, please bail us out. At the same time, we don't have the luxury that we can go out and get the latest technology just for the technology's sake. So we try and keep the balance between utilizing technology that helps us, and the board is very supportive of that, including our CEO and the administration. They're all great supporters of utilizing technology and how it would help us achieve our objectives.
That's just amazing how you are able to literally get the buy-in for this, and also the board, which is very progressive, given that it's a county. My next question is actually related to the two schools of thought that are there for optimizing the technology. One says, if it's not broken, don't fix it, and the other one says if there's a room for improvement, there's actually always room for improvement. So I would love to hear your thoughts about and what your take is on the schools of thought that are available, and what exactly is your approach to optimizing technology in your organization and at Porter and, of course, in the other organizations that you worked in the past. But before we deal with that topic, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, listeners, so please stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Going too far to close that sale? Looking for a way to succeed in business without compromising your morals? Then tune into Business with Honor with host David Farnetti for discussions on business ethics and other current business issues. Heard every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, David will disconnect the corporate buzzwords and spin to arrive at a true ethical exchange for building business relationships. So if you're ready to start conducting business honestly and successfully, listen to Business with Honor with your host David Farnetti every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
When you are investing, you should always have a strategy. And if you want to be an enlightened investor, then you need to tune into Strategies for Enlightened Investors. Broadcast live every Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts, Jim Whitten and Lance Alston. Strategies for Enlightened Investors will expose investment myths that are just not true and let you know about financial planning strategies for your future. Become an enlightened investor every Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
The Human Resource Connection is a show that is devoted to tackling the critical issues that face companies and individuals in today's business world. Broadcast live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, the host of Human Resource Connection will discuss major human resource topics and get firsthand ideas, opinions, and expectations from some of America's top CEOs and vice presidents. So tune in and get valuable insight on the Human Resource Connection with Fred Montana every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on Business America Radio.
Minding Your Money, A Financial Path to Success is a show that will teach you the common sense techniques to investing. Broadcast live every Thursday at 1 p.m., host Anna M. Keeler will undertake intriguing issues from how to analyze a statement offer to basic investing from your first dollar. So if you want to learn the insights on financial planning, please do not miss Minding Your Money, A Financial Path to Success every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio from a business perspective.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is disproportionate success in healthcare through technology. Our guest for today's show is Sanjay Shah. Sanjay is the Vice President and CIO at Porter Memorial Health System in Valparaiso, Indiana. With over 13 years of leadership experience in healthcare industry and as a CIO and CTO, Sanjay has been instrumental in helping organizations achieve a disproportionate strategic advantage by innovative application and adoption of technology. At Porter Memorial, Sanjay introduced the first of its kind just-in-time patient information system, which allowed a physician to receive 95% of patients' information on a PDA within 3 minutes of entering the hospital. This resulted in average time savings of 30 minutes per physician per day. Before joining Porter Memorial, Sanjay helped create value in healthcare using technology by serving as the CIO at St. Vincent Hospital in Santa Fe, New Mexico, as a founding member of a healthcare technology startup, and as a consulting manager in healthcare practice at Deloitte & Touche. Sanjay holds an MBA degree from Georgia State University, Atlanta, and is also a certified medical practice executive. Before the break, I actually asked a question which still has to be addressed by Sanjay. The question was that you know, given the size of the organization that is Porter, you know, it's only so much you can do from the technology addressing standpoint. Like, you could have technology needs, but over a period of time, you would end up dealing with almost every one of those. And there are generally two schools of thought. One is that once it's fixed, then don't try to, don't try to play with it. If it's not broken, don't try to fix it. And the other is, like, you can always find rooms for improvement and room for optimization. So what's your thoughts, Sanjay, about this? Which school of thought do you follow, and what are your thoughts overall?
Sanjay, my educational background is engineering and then an MBA, and I'll answer it that way, in that order. What happened in the engineering world, I was always told that when there's a problem, there's a right or wrong answer to it. And then I went to MBA, and they taught me that the answer to no matter what the question is, it always is, it depends. So this is a kind of a question like this. The way I actually address that, and I'll answer it both ways, is I do believe that there's always room for improvement. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's true if you want to just hang on to what you have. However, let me give you the answer that I have actually started to believe in more and more, and probably been a little wiser after my MBA, which is that there are gray areas. There's not a right or wrong answer. It's not this or that. These are not mutually exclusive things. The way I actually address that is, and this is what I've done in my career, is that there are different solutions you apply to different parts of the problem. For example, in this case, as a good technology leader, what I need to do is actually be like a yo-yo. For some technology solutions, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. Absolutely, we do that. However, simultaneously, for some other things that actually create strategic value for us, even if it's not broken, or sometimes it's not even doesn't even exist, we go and create something. And if it's working fine, we try and radically change it, because that gives us the first-to-market advantage that our competition doesn't have. So I actually look at it, I break systems down into many different things. There are systems that you need to basically survive. Those are your basic billing systems, your payroll systems. We are not going to be well-known in the industry, nationally recognized, because we pay our associates what they are due every 2 weeks. By God, Porter Memorial pays their associates accurately every 2 weeks. That should be taken for granted. So those systems, like those systems that are required to survive, we don't fix them unless they're broken. Then there's another whole group of systems that are there that helps us not just survive, but compete. That's the middle band. And then there's a set of systems on top. You can treat this like a pyramid. At the apex of the pyramid is systems that actually help us not just survive or compete, but to win. And in those systems, we actually use a very different set of criteria. And there we actually go out and do what I call disruptive adoption of technology. We change the rules of the game. And by doing that, what happens is everyone gets to the starting point, and then it's not what systems you have, it's how fast can you implement those. So that's my MBA answer, so to speak.
Okay, very quickly, I just wanted to learn a little bit about the measure that you would use the gauge that you would use to measure the effectiveness of IT within an organization. And I once heard about a very, very different kind of a measure where it says if the efficiency of the organization has increased, but the budget of IT department has decreased, that's a good way of looking at, you know, that basically IT department is doing very well. So do you have any thoughts on that?
It depends. It's a great measure, but like every other measure, it needs to be put in context. That depends on part of where you are as an organization in the life cycle of evaluation of IT within your organization. If you are a much younger IT organization, or an organization that is in the infancy in terms of utilizing IT, then chances are, no matter how good you do, your IT expenses may keep on increasing for the next couple years. If you are at a mature stage where you have things that are steady state, then yes, absolutely, that should be the right measure of success. But it depends. For example, in our case, we're trying to catch up 5 to 7 years of neglect in 1 or 2 years. No matter how good we do, the IT expenses are not necessarily going to go down in the next year. And that measure taken by itself in isolation may not be the most appropriate. However, 2 years from now, that would be a perfect measure to evaluate ourselves on.
So quickly, you know, last couple of seconds left for us, what do you think the IT products and service vendors catering to the healthcare industry could do better? What do you think they could do better?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Probably look at, as I said, just like I used the example of the physician, truly empathize with the need of their clients, not just understand it, but understand it thoroughly, empathize with what do they really care for, and provide solutions that that we as customers of their services cannot afford to walk away from, would be my recommendation.
Well, that's just wonderful. On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Sanjay, for sharing your strategies and tactics that would help in achieving disproportionate success in healthcare technology.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a guest, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks again. I urge all our listeners to participate, as this is the key to the success of this show. We all know that technology is an enabler, but in fact, it should be, and it is, more than that. If we fully exploit the power of technology and work towards making not only the internal operations better, but provide unique ways to make things simpler and efficient for our up and downstream value chain players, like in physicians in this case, they would like to work with us versus the competition and be our greatest references. Tune in again on Friday, January 2nd, 2004 at 10 a.m. Central. The topic of our next show is Supporting Philanthropy Through Technology. The guests for our next show are Greg McMillan, VP and CIO, Central Indiana Community Foundation, Beverly Rella, CEO, Empower Indiana, and Janine DeHart, Asset Manager, Near North Development Corporation. More and more not-for-profit organizations are leveraging technology to serve the community. Maintenance of these technology investments are expensive, or actually is expensive. That is where Central Indiana Community Foundation and its technology support initiative, Empower, comes to rescue. Let's listen to Greg and Beverly to learn more about their challenges and rewards because of this initiative, and Janine as a satisfied client about the value this unique initiative created for their organization. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.